Now, why didn't I think of that?
Oh, Nick, Nick, we would love to have you.
Great, great, great. I'll stay. You convinced me.
No, 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 no. We'd love to have you if we had the room.
Oh, Tony, how much room does he need? I mean, he's used to living in very cozy quarters.
No, 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 Angela, we have no room upstairs, no room downstairs, no room at all. No room.
Dad, can we make room?
Baba, where, honey? What am I gonna do, put him in a garage?
I will take it. I'll take it. You won't even know I'm around.
Listen, I'd like a 10 o'clock wake-up call, please. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to...
Ayo. Oh, wait.
The Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. You think I should ever do an AOOA again?
Yeah. I mean, we might have a few left.
What?
A few episodes left. Oh. We have plenty of.
Yes, more than half.
I think left. We've solicited listeners to do it.
I know, no but one's nobody, done it. No. Nobody wants
need
to
do it. Somebody
on.
Do it on the Don't on the voicemail. Shy. You can just even call a voicemail on the thing. Is it beep?
I have no idea.
Whenever whatever happens, just do it and says, hang up.
You've reached Who's the Boss. No, it doesn't say anything. I don't know.
And then just do it and hang up. We don't even have to know who it is.
That's true. It could be an anonymous AOOA.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any news. Do you have any news?
No. No, I have nothing. When do I ever have news?
Never. I don't know. Thought maybe some.
No,
some
because point. No. And in my defense, when I do find out something, I tell you and you know already.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm sorry.
I'll be like, oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, I saw that one. I'm like, oh, man.
You were like, oh, Alyssa Milano's shooting something. What is it? And I knew.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yes. So
Alyssa Milano is shooting something right now that is not Who's the Boss.
I saw that.
I think it's called Brazen Virtue. Mm. It's a Nora Roberts book that's being turned into either a movie or a miniseries. Not sure. She seems to be in Canada shooting that. And she was showing off all the masks and shields.
Right, the PPE. I saw that on the Twitter.
So here's a question I have about that. So she was saying like they have to wear the mask and then she had a shield on her face.
Yeah, face shield and mask.
And she said that they rehearse with that and then they take it off right when they shoot. But wouldn't everybody have like the pillowcase marks on their face? Because when I take that mask off, when I get in the car, my face always has like little lines on it wherever.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
I wonder if they have to like wait a few minutes for their faces to not have lines on them. If we ever get to talk to Alyssa Milano, that's what I'm going to ask her.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's nothing else thing. Really to ask her.
Okay, so today we're going to cover season 3, episode 19. And the title is Diet in Cell Block 11. Now, this title is a take of a movie called Riot in Cell Block 11 from 1954.
1954.
And I looked it up, but I didn't get very deep into it. It's part of the Criterion Collection, though.
Oh, anybody, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Is it anybody particular in it? That?
Let's see.
Because I don't...
It says 100% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Wow.
Hang on, I'm clicking. Oh, by the way, I apologize for the super noisy mouses I've had recently, but I have a better mouse now. Yeah, I listened to our last episode, and it's all clicking. And
oh,
then I
really?
I listened to the episode before that, and it's all me rolling the mouse.
Oh.
Okay, here's the cast. Neville Brand... Emil Meyer, Frank Phelan, Leo Gordon, Robert Osterloh.
Now you can just stop.
I know. I don't know one name that I've read so far.
Interesting.
1954. Maybe we're going to have to give that one a chance one night. Maybe we'll switch it up, not watch a Judith Light TV movie.
We need to watch that. And what's the other one we need to watch from last?
Oh, The Quiet Man. Oh, yes. So Jamie... Let me know that The Quiet Man actually does have a happy ending. So now I'm kind of curious about this
movie. Oh, okay. Maybe we can put that on our list.
Okay. So Diet in Cell Block 11. It first aired on February 24th, 1987. And the TV Guide summary says, Tony pushes his ex-con father-in-law, James Coco, to get a job and quit dreaming that the diet book he wrote in jail will get published. Very thorough. written by Howard Myers, who is a name that we've definitely heard before on this show. Okay, so this is James Coco's last episode. And I'm just going to get into this right here. So this episode aired February 24th, 1987.
Oh my goodness.
What?
I don't know.
James Coco died February 25th, 1987.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
wow.
He died the day after it aired.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah, because I was looking, I was like, I wonder how long after that he died. And yeah, it's the next day.
He's only 56.
He was 56. He died of a heart attack.
I about to say heart attack, probably.
He was taken to the hospital, never regained consciousness. Mm. So it was very sudden. This was not something that anyone was expecting. He hadn't been sick.
I know I'm saying like all these deaths that are sudden and all these actors, they're always, it always feels like it's a heart attack.
Yes,
back
true.
Then,
yeah,
I mean, know.
That's probably the leading cause of sudden death
true,
once you're
of course. Yeah, I get
over 50, unfortunately. Not that we want more reasons of sudden death, but we would like less. And it says in this article, his last appearance was a guest role on Tuesday night on ABC TV's Who's the Boss? This is a Los Angeles Times article.
Oh, so this
February
was
February 26, 1987. Okay, now here's another interesting thing. So we'll get into this when we get more into the episode, but James Coco wrote a diet book called The James Coco Diet.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So that kind of ties into this episode. So when this episode starts, Angela is in the kitchen trying to make a cake. Why is she making a cake? Because Nick's coming back. So Grandpa's out of prison, and he's on his way back to their house to see everyone. So Angela's little cake is very sad. It's like, I don't know what do you think happened? Like, she made the cake, and then as she tried to get it, she didn't let it cool enough.
Yeah, and it...
And so when she took it out of the pan, probably part of it broke off.
Yeah, probably, yes.
And so...
When she separated the... She had one of the spring form or whatever. Yeah, then probably got stuck to it. I've actually done that.
Yeah.
I've done it with banana bread.
And so then, now her cake is all lopsided. It's like sloped on one side. And Tony's like, that's all right. When I serve it to him, I'll just do this. And then he leans.
Leans all right.
So that, it doesn't make the cake look any straighter.
No, it doesn't.
This is also an interesting sweater choice for Tony here. Again, it kind of looks like it could also be Mona's sweater or like a woman's sweater. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it was interesting that the necklines of some of these sweaters back in the 80s were kind of... androgynous, if that is the correct word for that. They are gender non-conforming, which I kind of like. It's a cute
and
color,
it's mustard
too.
Colored?
Yes.
I don't know what color that is.
Yeah, it's almost like a canary yellow or something. It's very bright. So Tony's like, you know what? Don't worry about Nick's cake because he's been eating prison food and it's crooked, which is just like him.
Yeah, right. And Tony still has hate for him.
Yes. She says, Angela says, that's no way to talk about your father-in-law. And Tony, she says he's paid his debt to society. And Tony's like, yeah, well, he still owes me $100. I had this episode on in the kitchen and the AV walked in. Mm-hmm. Not the AV, but I almost said the girls, but it was actually just AV. She walked in and she saw this and she goes, Tony doesn't like any of Angela's family.
Meanwhile,
it's like, no, it's actually Tony's late wife's father-in-law. It's his family. So the doorbell rings, Nick's there, and Angela's like, I just want to make this day great for him. It's his first day out of prison. And they both look at the cake and nod to each other, and Angela dumps the entire cake into the trash. Now,
I like how Nick's last name is Milano. It's kind of funny. Did you say that
already? I think we have on a previous episode.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know that I have confirmation that it was actually for Alyssa Milano, but I would imagine
it would
be.
Though?
Yeah. Why else
it's
would
something
it?
Different, you
yeah,
know?
It's very cute. I like it. I also wonder how close the... I mean, this is his third appearance on this show. So I wonder how, you know, close the cast had gotten to him at this point.
Right.
This would be pretty devastating. So they look at the cake and they throw it out. But, like, I know it's an ugly-looking lopsided cake, but do you think Angela did such a bad job making it? Like,
throw the whole thing away. He's probably spent all morning
on
it.
Right, and she said it doesn't look like it did on the box. So it's box cake. Like, how bad could she have messed that up?
Probably
Nick would have still eaten it. And if not, I would have eaten it.
So I know they because could have kept the cake. I know I've done worse and you've eaten it. You know, I've made things that didn't come out so well and we've still eaten it.
Right. But I mean, you've never done anything like use salt instead of sugar or anything.
Oh, no,
like,
no.
I mean, it's
all. No, I do pretty well sometimes.
No, you do great. Okay. So the
like
kids.
Tony.
So doorbell rings, Nick's at the door. The kids are running down the stairs to go greet him and Tony and Angela come out of the kitchen. And Jonathan's trying to beat Samantha to the door and Angela says, Jonathan, be a gentleman. And then Samantha says to Jonathan, yeah, or I'll break your hand.
I know.
But now here, Angela actually says, Samantha.
Right.
Which I feel like is more stern than she has ever. Like, normally Samantha threatens Jonathan and Angela just sits there.
Threatens
and
Jonathan.
Doesn't say anything. Or, like, laughs along.
Right.
So I feel like maybe we have a shift here since Hit the Road Chat, where Angela feels a little more empowered to
be
like,
oh boy, yeah.
Please don't threaten my son. So Tony's like, ah, she's getting better because last week she threatened to break his kneecaps. So the door opens.
So violent.
I know.
What, Jonathan?
I didn't grow up with a sibling. I know you did. We obviously have two children, but they don't really threaten each other that way.
No.
But that's more for Sam's character. You know, she's like supposed
she's
to be
tough,
still
yeah.
a little tough,
little Brooklyn.
Still a little street cred in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So James Coco comes in as Nick Milano and he's like, it's the rehabilitated Nick Milano. Samantha's like, hi, Grandpa. He's excited to see Samantha. He's excited to see Jonathan. He's not excited to see Tony. He's excited to see Angela.
I know, of course.
He just kind of like skirts past Tony. So he comes in and he's like, you know, this is a new me. I don't need anyone for anything. I'm on the straight and narrow. And then a car honks outside and he's like, oh, that's my cab. Tony, can I borrow $78?
I know. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, because Tony says you took a cab all the way from Danbury Penitentiary.
Right, which Danbury is probably far.
Yeah, I know. I guess I should have looked that up. But it's enough to be $78.
And
then, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, another one of my stupid observations.
No, go for it.
I wonder why he doesn't, the whole time he doesn't call Samantha Sambina or Sambina.
Oh, right. He doesn't. He does
not
later
once.
In the episode.
Oh, he does?
I think so, right
oh,
at the end.
Right.
I think I remember one. But yeah, you're right. So then I like how Angela's like, I have some loose bills.
I know. Loose
what
bills.
What is that? What does that mean, loose bills?
Just like bills that she can spare.
Right.
I guess.
Because like, this is 87. So the cash was way more popular. Not popular, but prevalent back then than it is now. So it's just funny, like, of course she would have cash on her unless, because I don't think like ATM and debit cards and stuff were as popular credit cards were, but it's just funny, like,
yeah,
I have
I
loose
ATM.
Bills. And Tony's like, no, it's my family. If he's gonna mooch off of anyone, it's gonna be me.
Right, of course.
But Tony doesn't have as many loose bills.
No.
So he has to borrow $50 from Angela. So he must have had $28. He takes 50 from Angela, gives it to Nick, and then Nick's like, well, I usually tip. So he takes a little bit more money from Angela. Nick wants 20%, but Tony doesn't give it to him.
No.
And he's like, what is he going to think of me, the cab driver? And Tony's like, he's just going to be happy that you're not giving him fake money.
Right, counterfeit money.
So Nick goes out to pay the cab driver, and Tony's like, listen, you got to stop being so nice to him. He's going to want to stay here. He's going to walk all over us. And Angela's like, all I did was say hi. And he's like, you did it too nicely. You got to stop. So Angela's fine. Like, she seems fine with this guy staying with them. She's like, what's the harm if he stays here a couple of days? But Tony's like, you know, a couple of days is going to turn into weeks and then he's never going to leave.
Nick.
Yeah. And Nick comes in with all of his belongings from prison, which isn't much, but he's definitely looking to stay there. So he comes back in with his luggage. He sits down and Angela's talking to him and stuff. And she's like, you look great. Incarceration agrees with you.
Incarceration.
And then Nick's like, oh, you're so cute. And he squeezes her face.
I know. I thought it was weird.
It was very weird, but it was also funny. So then Jonathan wants to know what prison was like. And Angela's like, oh, you know, you don't need to ask him that or whatever. And then Samantha's like, I just want to spend time with you. And he says, don't say time. Never say time. But Nick does plan on staying in Fairfield. He wants to be close. And Tony's like, oh, really? Okay, well, how close are you planning to stay? And he's like, I don't know, somewhere I can kick back with a fireplace and maybe some wingback chairs.
Completely describing the living room.
So Jonathan's like, oh, well, you can stay with us. And again, Angela's fine with that. Everyone is fine with that except for Tony. Now, you would think that Angela, Angela's just a nice person, I guess, but she would maybe be a little more weary considering that the last time Nick was there, he was a fugitive and she was worried that the SWAT team was going to descend on her house.
I know, that's right.
But she's still willing to open it. But Tony's like, you know, we really don't have any room. And he's right, they don't have any extra bedrooms.
Right, where's he going to sleep? Well, I mean, we find out, but...
Right.
But like he just comes in and puts his feet up on the table.
I know.
Even Angela's like, she wants to say something.
I know. And then doesn't. I know, but he's just, that's what he is. He's a mooch and he's just kind of a slob. So they're like, you know, Tony says, we don't have any other bedrooms. You know, what am I going to do? Put you in the garage? And then Nick's like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But let's remember, everyone, it's February in Connecticut.
Right. It's freezing.
Right. Like, I don't know if that garage maybe has heat because it has the upstairs apartment. But Nick's like, I'll take the garage, which also has no bathroom.
Nick, I guess he's got to go in the house then or do it in the yard.
Nick's going in the house to use the bathroom and then probably putting on his little robe and grabbing all of his toiletries and heading upstairs to the kids' bathroom to take a shower. But it's a sitcom, so we don't need to worry about it.
We have to worry about people going to the bathroom.
No. So we cut to Nick in his new little garage apartment. He's got like a cot set up with, or is it like a lawn chair?
It's like a lawn chair, and for some reason the umbrella is open. It doesn't make any sense.
And like he's got a little bistro table set up.
Yeah.
And he's sitting at a typewriter typing something. And he's very proud of himself. And he's like, I am definitely a writer. So now in walks Mona. And she kind of comes up behind him to surprise him. He's very happy to see her. He's always very happy to see Mona.
Oh, yeah. He liked Mona.
But she quickly tells him here that I can't date
pretty
you.
Much, yeah. Can't fool around or do anything because I'm seeing somebody else. Even though it's only for 3 days.
Right. So do you think she's like...
Like something went down with him last time?
Okay, so here's... And we'll get into this a little later in the episode because they're going to say that nothing ever actually happened with them. So in the one episode when he was going to prison, he's trying to get her to sleep with him because he's going to go to prison the next day. And it seems like she's going to do it. And then they kind of leave it open-ended there. Mm-hmm. So I guess nothing happened between them. So I think maybe she's just kind of always been like teasing him or nice to him, but really has no interest in him now that he's out of prison. Mm. So she had to make, because like we've never met whoever she's dating and we'll never see this person again.
Right.
So I think she's just blowing him off here.
Yeah.
Like we're just going to be buddies. So she tells him that, you know, she started dating someone and then it became serious. They've been seeing each other for 3 days and they're in a row. So it is very serious.
Did you get the rather, I mean, maybe it's me, but the rather gross conversation that happens here when he hugs her?
Oh, no.
Well, he says, you feel better than my pillow. And then he says they only issue you one.
Right.
What's he doing with the pillow?
Well, I think he means because she has two boobs and his pillow was only one.
Okay, that's a little bit less disgusting than when I thought he was humping his pillow. Like they only give you one, you ruin it. I don't know. I went to a dark place.
Yeah, I think he went a slight... I mean, I respect it, but I think he was...
I understand what you're saying. Slightly, two boobs and one pillow.
Right, he'd feel better because she's got two pillows and he only had one in prison. Right,
I mean, he's like because choking her.
Once again, he's rubbing... Yeah, and we've seen this with Nick before and Mona, where he basically just rubs himself all over her. Mm. But yeah, so they like really play it up. And again, he's rubbing himself all over her. So... he tells her, you know, I have some really awesome news. I've written a book. And she's like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. So he tells her that the book is called, well, hang on, I wrote a diet
He wrote a diet book, and what does he say?
Blimpos, wait.
Yeah, Blimpo, what was it?
Blimpos Behind Bars.
Yeah, that's what how it is. I got prison diet. Blimpos in the Behind slammer. Bars. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so like I said earlier, James Coco did really write a diet book. It was not called that. It's just called the James Coco Diet. And it's sort of similar where it's like he talks a little bit about himself and like his ups and downs with dieting and stuff. So it seems like a similar basis for what this was. But this actually came out, the book came out in 1984. So it was a few years earlier, but maybe, they just kind of still did the tie-in. And if anyone's interested, you can get it on Amazon.
I know, I see
I'm
that.
I'm looking at it right here. It's got a cute little cover. But it seems like, you know, he may have struggled with weight his whole life.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh, maybe I should shop around some other titles. And Mona's like, no, everyone loves a Blimpo. So she says she's going to read the book. And he's like, well, just don't promise me you're not going to go on a diet, because if you lose any pounds, I'll miss them too much.
I know. I'll miss them too much. Which, where does he think she's going to lose pounds?
In her pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want the pillows to go away.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. So she says that she can't wait to get into bed and curl up with this book. And it's just making Nick sad because he knows that he can't curl up with her.
Right.
So Tony comes into the garage and Mona's like, oh, did you hear the great news? Nick's a writer. And Tony's like, of what? Bad checks? Yeah. And so he's hoping that Nick's going to be moving out soon, but Nick's not planning on it. And he says, you know, while I was in prison, I wrote a diet book. And Tony's like, have you looked in the mirror lately?
I know,
so mean. And he's like, well, I couldn't actually diet because I had to do the research for the book. And he said, the more I researched, the more I developed.
Yeah.
But Tony's not buying this. He's like, how could you write a book? You barely can even read a book. And he's Nick saying, you know, like when I was in prison, I really got to know myself. And there was this burning desire inside of me. And I knew what I had to do. Tony thinks it's gas, but he says it was not gas. So Tony's like, okay, well, that's great. You're a writer. You wrote a book. Once this book sells, then you'll have plenty of money. But until then, you're getting a job.
Can't stay there without a job.
Yeah. So he gives him the want ads, but Nick just uses them to prop up the table that he's writing at because it was wobbly. But Tony's like, no. Okay. So I know the manager down at Shop King.
Shop King.
And Shop King's not a real store, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. And he says, the manager really wants me to go out with his sister. So I will do that, and then he will help you. He'll give you a job in the produce section.
Yeah, so the music. Then the music interlude happens to let you know that there's a significant passage of time.
Yes.
Because now when we, and then you see the house, that not the shot of the house that does not at all match with the actual house.
Like,
I mean, interior, whatever, but like immediately out of the gate, when you come up to the front door, the steps are on the side.
Right. Like every time we've seen the outside when they open the door, there's that little bench there. And like the trellis that Sam climbed down.
It's gone.
In the hickey. Boy.
Okay, well, very good.
Useless knowledge. But we're clearly seeing a shot of this house where the steps go straight out the
straight
front
out.
Door.
Yeah.
There's no bench. There's no trellis.
No.
And it's not even the right color. This house is white and theirs is beige.
Oh, really?
That's that little area is kind of beigey, bluey looking. Just sitcom.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It is such a pretty house, though, and someday I would like to go see it. So they cut to Angela and Samantha in the kitchen. Yes. And so some time has passed. We're to think that Nick's been working at the grocery store. Angela finally got around to reading the book, and so has Samantha. And they both are surprised that it's pretty good. They both kind of like it. Samantha's saying, you know, wow, he's got a job. He's written a book. And Dad's even proud of him. So she's so happy for her grandfather because it's the first time she really feels like the two men that are closest to her in her life are getting along. Well, in walks Tony in the kitchen door. And he says, where is that leech? He explains that Nick doesn't have a job because he went to the supermarket and he found out that he hasn't been working there. And Nick's told them tales of how he was employee of the week. He saved a baby in a runaway shopping cart.
See, and time has passed.
Right. That's and none of this tells. Is true because he actually has never been working there. So they hear Nick come home through the front door and he's like, oh, here he is now. So Tony, Angela, and Samantha all go into the living room and they're like, oh, how was your day? And he's like, oh, it was so stressful. The peppers came in late. Some lady said my cucumbers were too small.
He's got a story.
Yeah. The cabbages were bruised. You know, he's like, I guess that's just how it is, you know, in the produce business. And Samantha's like, Grandpa, Dad knows. So he's like, oh, what do you know? And Tony explains, I talked to my friend. You aren't working there. And I still had to go out with his sister. And so Nick's just saying, you know, I couldn't do it. I'm just born to be a writer, and like working in the produce department of a grocery store is not for me.
Suddenly he's
he's
high society.
Right. Yeah. He's like, the job should go to somebody who knows more about what kind of melons they need and how to pile the potatoes right. But Tony's just upset because this is the Nick that he's seen the whole time he's known him.
And what was Nick doing then during the day or when he was supposed to be working?
Who knows? Probably wandering around town.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's wearing like a little work jacket as if it's like the grocery store uniform. So I don't know if he just went and bought that and hung out. Yeah, I mean, maybe he was at a bar or a restaurant. I don't know. Who knows? So Tony's like, you know, you're never going to change. I want you out of here. You have to be out of here in 15 minutes. This is not the first time he's told them that.
Yeah, I know.
And Samantha's like, oh, Dad, that's so unfair. And he's like, fine, then he can have 20 minutes. But Nick's like, oh, don't worry. I don't want to stay anywhere I'm not wanted. So I'll go find a vacant lot in a cardboard box. I'll be fine.
Yeah, martyr.
Yeah. Tony's like, you can go get one at the supermarket. So the phone rings and Angela leaves and she's like, she comes back in and then says, wait a minute, Nick's book is going to be published. I just got a call. She's like, I sent it to a friend because I liked it so much at a publishing house. He thinks it could be a bestseller. And so the book is going to be published. She says he thinks Blimpo's Behind Bars will be a bestseller.
Blimpo's Behind Bars.
So Nick is super excited and Tony is very shocked that this is actually happening now. And he hugs Angela and says, thank you for believing in me, and hugs Samantha and says the same. And then he's like, ah, what the hell? And he even hugs Tony because he went out with Marlene for him.
No, but what does he say there when he hugs them?
Who?
I wanted to read the closed captioning on that.
Who says?
Nick says, thank you for believing me. Oh, maybe...
Thank you for believing in me.
I thought he was saying something, some weird name or something.
Yeah, okay, he says, oh, what the hell? Thank you for going out with Marlene. Well,
okay, but I thought he said something to them too. Never mind. And I wanted to watch and see. I'm sorry, I've derailed this whole thing again. I thought maybe it was the way he was saying it. I thought he was calling them some certain name.
Oh, calling Tony a name? Yeah, I don't know.
Or the two women. I don't know. Whatever.
So now we're going to see another shot of the house with the music again.
Right.
Because we have more time has passed.
And got to move things along here.
So Tony's in the kitchen. He's chopping up vegetables. The kids come in from school, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And Sam's like, oh, Jonathan, you're so disgusting. And he's like, what? And in his lunchbox, he has brought home the dissected frog from school. And he said, I think it's still beating.
No, he brought home the heart. It's just a frog heart.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No frog. Right. Just a heart.
Just the heart.
That he thinks is still beating. Yeah.
And he's going to keep it just in case one of his reptiles needs a transplant. Yeah. So Tony's like, you are pretty disgusting.
Yeah, and it's not going to last that long.
Come on. What does this have to do with anything? It's again just one of those things where they kind of didn't know what to do with the kids.
Yeah.
And especially Jonathan, because he didn't really have a part here as much as Samantha does. But then I was thinking, okay, so maybe now in the reboot, you know, we're hoping to see Jonathan. We're hoping that we can see gay Jonathan with his family. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe he should have become a veterinarian.
Oh, because he was so into reptiles.
Yeah, focusing on reptiles.
Yeah.
All right. So let's campaign.
All right, that's a good idea.
Yes, campaigning for this. So Tony's like, you are disgusting.
Yeah, he realizes there's a frog heart in there. I don't even know how you...
I know. And then he leaves and goes upstairs with it. So
yeah, that's gross.
What if Tony's gonna find that in like 3 weeks from now?
What's this raisin?
You know what, kids...
Who was eating raisins up here?
That's so gross. So when they're in the kitchen, Samantha's like, have you apologized to Grandpa yet? And he's like, oh, no, you know, I just haven't really gotten around to it. And so Sam's really trying to get him to be the bigger person and go out and apologize. So she gives him a lecture and he's even like, is this going to be a lecture?
Yeah.
And she says, like, sit down. Yeah. And she's like, we need to face our mistakes, you know, and be the bigger person and just say you were wrong and, you know, apologize and make up to him. So Tony's like, all right, you know, he decides he's going to do it as much as he doesn't want to. So Mona and Nick come in the front door and Angela comes running out from the den. Tony and Samantha come running in from the kitchen and Nick is dressed in like a tweed jacket with a vest and a hat and he has a pipe. And Mona has taken him shopping so that he can get some spiffy new clothes to go with his, I don't know, his new writing career.
I guess, yeah. Why does he look like a detective or something? Or like some kind
Sherlock
of...
Sherlock Holmes,
I don't know, traveler. I don't know what the heck it is.
So because he's just being Nick. And so he comes into the living room, takes off his hat to show that he's also wearing a toupee.
I know, a horrible rug.
And Samantha says, Grandpa, that's really scary.
Yeah.
And Mona says, it's the same one that Willard Scott wears. Now, Willard Scott, I believe, still does the weather for the Today Show, right?
No, I think he...
Or does he just do the Smuckers thing?
He just does the Smuckers thing.
Okay. But he was a weather person. Now. I would hope so.
Yeah, he was an American weather presenter, as the internet tells me.
And so he says, you know, you get what you pay for, and I paid a lot for this. And then Mona goes on to say that she introduced him to a few of her friends today, Mr. Bergdorf, Mr. Goodman, Mr. Abercrombie and Mr. Fitch.
Yeah.
And I did not know that Abercrombie and Fitch had been around that long.
I don't know. I knew it was around for a while, but I didn't know it was around that long.
I only know it as being the place where the cologne
fills up the entire mall.
You start smelling the cologne 50 feet before you get to the store and 50 feet after you
pass
the store.
And then there's like... And then for like, there was a time, I mean, I shopped there in like early 2000s.
Yeah, I think that's probably about that.
The cologne wasn't as bad then. They didn't pump it out into the mall that bad then. Yeah.
Now it's awful.
Yeah, if I can even find one. I mean,
it's always hot in there.
Yeah, it's always hot. But there was a time like in the later 2000s, you walk by there and there'd just be a man with no shirt holding a ripped soccer ball. Like a soccer ball, it's partially ripped. And I don't know, like, what is happening in the store? I don't...
But I'm sorry, did you look up to see how long it's been around?
Yes, I did. And it was founded on June 4th, 1892.
What?
Yeah. June 4th.
Oh, my God.
1892. So it's been around for 125
But I'm assuming back then it focused more on other clothing and didn't have men standing out front without shirts on pumping cologne into the mall.
Yeah, I mean, I think it mostly Oh, yeah. Like, and here's a good example. I mean, this is just straight from the Wikipedia. It says, Abercrombie & Fitch is notable for using brand representatives previously called models for store customer service. Models. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole history. Yeah, there's a main history in here. And then there's actually shows an ad from 1909.
Wow.
And it's two men on a canoe, like, and they're hunting.
And Bergdorf Goodman is, I think, just a very famous department store in New York City. I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess it's other places. We don't have them here, do we?
No, not that I know of. But anyway, really quick, Abercrombie & Fitch, they were known, it said, when they, in the beginning, we're back in 1907, I guess, or whatever, the company was an elite outfitter of sporting and excursion goods.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because they were always supposed to be, like, kind of rugged and...
And they actually sold expensive shotguns, fishing rods,
oh, wow,
fishing boats, and tents.
Oh, like REI.
Yeah.
Except I don't know that REI sells guns. It's the gun store, REI, and a clothing store all put together.
Yeah. Right, yeah, nice. So that's what it was. One-stop shopping. But, I mean, they also sold... I guess by the 80s, they were selling clothes. I mean, maybe they always were. I'm not going to sit here and get the lowdown on it.
So... Samantha's urging Tony to take this opportunity now to apologize. And Tony says, you know, this isn't easy for me, but I just want to say I was wrong and I'm sorry. And Nick accepts his apology. He's like, it takes a big man to say that. Can you say it again? And Samantha's like, don't press it, Grandpa. So Nick hugs Tony and Tony's doing the hug our daughter does.
I know.
We always joke that our daughter, like, she's like hugging a tree.
I know she is.
The arms are flopped to the side, and you can hug her, but she's not putting her arms around you.
Yeah,
and that's what Tony does
to
Nick. Nick puts his arms around Tony, and Tony's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But Samantha's excited because she's like, great, my two favorite men are, you know, back in each other's good graces, and she's happy. So. Tony's like, what can I do to make it up for you? And he's like, I know, I will help you move into your new apartment because Nick is moving to New York City. And he's like, Nick's like, okay, well, that's awesome. But, you know, there's no rush. And then Tony's like, want to bet? And he goes running out.
Oh, yeah. He's ready to pack up his stuff and get him out of there.
So he goes into the garage and he starts packing up all of Nick's things. And as he's going through the stuff on the bistro table that he has set up there, he notices a crumpled piece of paper. And when he opens up the crumpled piece of paper, it's the first page of the manuscript to the book that says it was actually written by somebody else.
So then after that, he picks up the phone, he calls the prison or the penitentiary.
Yeah.
But the really funny thing is, like, he just dials three numbers, which obviously that was what? Information.
Oh,
that's what you called back then. Yeah, he just called 411 information.
Right.
Which I used did it all the time to get phone numbers.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot.
Me too.
And the other funny thing is he says, yeah, I would like the number for the, I'm sorry, what's the name of the penitentiary?
Danbury Penitentiary.
And then it's quiet for a minute. And then he says, yeah, I guess you could call it a residence.
Yeah.
Because they used to always say business or residence.
Oh, that's fine.
Whenever I would ask for, so it's kind of funny. I guess you could call it a residence. Because that's what the information did. It jogged my memory of that. That's how I only call 411 and I'd ask for a number. And I always remember them saying business or residence.
Yes, I have a vague recollection of that also. And look at that phone.
Weird.
It was like, it's a cordless.
And why was a phone out there just sitting there? He just had it?
Yeah, I guess he had
It's a cordless with an antenna, with the antenna you pulled out that was like 2.5 feet long.
But this is what Samantha's been begging for like a season.
Meanwhile, there's just one in the garage.
So did they get her one and then Nick took it? Or is this a new development that we haven't heard about yet?
I don't know.
All right, so now back in the living room, Nick and Mona are sitting on the couch. They're in there alone. And he's like, you know, this is it. This is our last time together. I'm going to be going to New York. And she's like, you know, it's not that far away. And then he says, well, I'm going to be doing book tours. And he says, who do you think I should go on, Johnny or Joan? So I'm guessing that's referencing the Johnny Carson show.
Yes, correct.
Or the Joan Rivers show.
Correct. Those are, yes.
Now, Mona says... You should, he's like, which one? Because I don't want to get either of them mad at me. But then Mona says, you should try Oprah because you'll look thinner.
Terrible.
How dare you?
I know.
like, I guess Oprah wasn't.
Oprah wasn't as, but it doesn't matter.
Was she not the queen that she is?
No, she wasn't, because it was the 80s. Her show was just starting.
Yeah, I guess.
She was not. She was just like daytime talk. I don't think she was as huge. I don't remember her getting that. That's true. But even still, it's still a crappy joke.
Yeah, it's just basically calling out Oprah's weight on national television. Again, something, a joke that you wouldn't really see today, but we're going to have to let it slide because of the time. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, you can't make fun of Oprah. She could have you killed or something. Are you crazy? So now, they basically explain here that they've come close several times, but that nothing has ever actually happened between them. And Nick is hoping to change that before he leaves.
Yeah.
It's like, just once. And she's, and Mona, who normally is all about it,
I know.
Is like, no, I mean, no. And he's like, oh, I just mean a kiss. So she go, they go in for a kiss, and he like starts mauling her, and she runs her fingers through his hair, and his hair comes off his head. And then he's like, they said that would stay on through the shower.
I know. And then he's like, maybe we should go to try it.
Right, we should try it. And he gets scared by it when he sees her holding something in it.
I know, no idea. He thinks it's an animal. It's terrible.
So now at the same time, Tony comes back into the living room, and he's dragging Angela with him. And she's like, why are you dragging me out of the kitchen? And Mona says, maybe he was afraid you'd cook something. Kind of a little throwback to the beginning of the episode with Angela's crooked cake, but also just the usual joke about Angela not being a good cook. And Tony's like, no, I want you to all hear this. I found the first page of the book, and it's Blimpos Behind Bars by Dick Archer. And they ask, who's Dick Archer? And Tony's like, that's a good question. Who is Dick Archer? And Nick's trying to explain. And he's like, you know, it's, this is very hard to explain. And then Angela's like, is he, what does she say? Nom de plume? Which is just another way of saying, like your ghostwriter name or an alternate name.
Fancy way of saying
it. The Angela way of saying it. And he's like, oh, yes, that's right. That's what it is, because it sounded thinner.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, yeah, this does sound really thin, because I called the penitentiary, and Dick Archer's a real person, and he wrote the book. So basically, Nick found out that somebody who was on death row had written this book.
Yeah.
He decided he was going to take it with him and have it published, because the guy was never going to know, because he was going to be executed soon. And Tony's like, well, you're wrong. He's not being executed. They're actually letting him out.
Yeah, he got out on a technicality.
Yeah. And Nick's like, that guy is mean, and he's a murderer. So now Nick is pretty scared, because he stole that guy's book.
Right, and he's coming out.
Right. So, oh, I think I might have just figured something else out for the rest of this part, but hang on. So he's like, he's coming out of prison, and he says, oh, well, when? And Tony's like, well, what time you got? So it's soon. And this is where you get the Sambina reference. So here, Nick now is out. He's leaving immediately. He's not worrying about packing any of his stuff. They don't say where he's going.
No, he's out.
He doesn't say where he's going. Yeah. And so he says, tell Sambina I'll be back someday. And he heads for the door.
I didn't catch that.
And he puts the toupee on backwards and says he's going undercover. He looks like one of the Three Stooges.
He does.
But Tony's very happy with himself, because Nick is gone. So this is the last time that we will see Nick Milano. And I imagine that they probably had more planned here. Like, I'm sure Nick was going to come back at some point. And there is another episode that's going to deal with Nick's passing. Obviously.
Oh, really? They acknowledge it. I guess they have to.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole episode about it. I think it is. Yeah, it's next season. It's not this season. So they gave it some time.
It stinks that Sam didn't get to say goodbye.
Oh, that's a really good point. He just leaves
and he's like, tell her I'll be back.
Right. But see, when the story...
And then they never see him again.
When the story picks up, they've been in contact.
Okay, so they make it seem like that he has been around.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's living in Florida in the next episode that his character is in.
Of course.
But yes, they have been in contact.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So now in the tag, They go into the, Mona and Tony go into the garage apartment. I'm sorry, just the garage under the apartment.
It's apartment now. Nick lived there for two nights.
They could have
a couple of nights. Well, a lot of nights.
So many people living here now. They get all sorts of apartments.
I know.
And it's the same day because Angela's wearing the same outfit Tony and Mona are. And they ask Angela, what are you doing? And she's like, well, you know, I told my, this publisher friend that I had a book.
Yep.
And now I'm, I got a little egg on my face because I don't have a book. So I'm going to write a book.
I know.
Tony's like, oh, you're just going to come in here and write a book? And Mona's like, please don't say you're writing a cookbook. But here's the thing. Okay, so couldn't they have surprised Dick Archer and like said, here's your book and it's going to be published? Because then he wouldn't be mad at Nick anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And the publisher would still have a book. And then this man who just got out of prison would actually have like something to keep him from being destitute and not being able to get a job because he's a felon.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could have changed Dick Archer's entire life.
Yes.
And instead, he's probably going to just come out and commit a crime again.
But if they had done that, we wouldn't get this scene.
That's a good point.
So Angela says, no, it's not a cookbook. It is a romance novel. And now they're very intrigued.
Of course.
Yeah. So Tony's like, hang on, let me see this. And he pulls the paper out of the typewriter and he starts reading. And the title is Love Slaves
of the Suburbs. Of the Suburbs. My God, I can't say it. Love Slaves of the Suburbs.
Of the Suburbs.
And she's ghostwriting it.
Yes, by Angelique Bouvier.
Oh my gosh, come on.
So Tony's like, and she's like, oh, no, it's just a first draft, you know, like, hang on. And Tony's like, all right, all right, all right. And he says it a lot.
I know. Six times, according to the closed captioning. All right, all right, all right, all right.
So Mona takes the page from him and is like, is there anything juicy in there? And she's like, okay, this looks promising. So she starts reading. Montgomery pulled her roughly toward him. And he's like, his fingers are traveling down her spine.
I know.
He's got fingers tickling.
Manly arms enveloping her.
He's got fingers on her neck, fingers running through her hair. So Tony's like, hang on a minute here. And Angela's like, what, is it too hot for you? And he mm-hmm. says, no, how many fingers and arms does Montgomery have?
Of course. And then Mona says, I knew a guy like that. Of course she does.
And so she says, okay, well, hang on here. Why don't you guys, Tony, embrace Angela and I'll show you how it's done. So Tony kind of like puts his arms around her and she's like, okay, there you go. Now, Tony, run your hands through her almost flaxen hair. And Angela's like, come on. And they're like getting all embarrassed and awkward with each other. And so Tony's like holding her and he's trying to run his fingers through her hair. And then Tony says, now what? And she says, you figure it out.
I know, it's funny.
Yeah, it's cute. And she leaves them there holding each other. And that is the end of the
episode. And meanwhile, Angela looks all tense and clenched up. So funny.
I know, but they do.
I guess it's supposed to be like they're all like, oh, nervous or
right,
whatever.
Right. Because they do want each other, but it's also a little bit adding in like a middle school dance where nobody knows what
to
do with themselves.
And this scene, you could tell like the audience is ready for it because you hear them, everybody starts wooing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as they
wooing in the, right. in the audience. So yeah. It's like, they're now getting to the point where it's like people are like, they're ready for something. Well, right. Guess what?
No, nothing. Sorry. Yeah. I know they're like, oh, sweet. We scored tickets to the episode where they're going to kiss.
And then nothing.
And then nothing. Yeah. No. And that is it. That is the end of the episode. Okay. So I think I did rating first last time. So you go first this time.
Oh, okay. Rating. What is the rating? I don't know. I think I feel like this is my third week of this, but put 6.5.
I had the same rating this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And
I know, 6.5.
But I was kind of thinking about this and I'm like, are we starting to rate too harshly? Like,
You've always been. I think you've been better at it than me.
Yeah, I feel like the last few I have been a bit harsher. But, I mean, this isn't Breaking Bad.
But you
bad,
haven't liked
people.
A few
like,
of the
I
last episodes.
No.
And overall, right. I mean, there's been a few.
We've hit a batch. Right, yeah, yeah.
Where there's a
I do like the episode we did last week, the proposal. It's just, you know, because it has a lot of cute Angela and Tony stuff, I just was annoyed with the way Angela was presented and what happened with Jeffrey. But yeah, there have been some episodes around this one that I have not been crazy about.
Yeah.
I know, but I also need to maybe not be so harsh because...
All right. Well, try again next week.
I mean, you know...
This was a solid 6.5.
Yeah. So this one...
It's not bad, but it wasn't
bright. And I feel bad because I've never enjoyed the Nick ones that much. Mm. Only because he's just kind of an annoying character, although that's what he's supposed to be. So the actor is doing a great job.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I went with Tony as the boss. I feel like there's really no other one here. He knew Nick was lying. He's always on to Nick. Mm-hmm. Everything Tony says about Nick, people should just believe him because he's always been right.
I know. Every time.
And I know that's disappointing for Samantha, but he just always is. So yeah, I mean, you know, he knew he was up to no good. He figured it out. He figured out again how to get Nick out of the house. And... that was the end of Nick.
Yeah. I mean, I actually agree with you 100% with the same exact reasons. Tony always smelled a rat. He knew there was something fishy, even though when everybody else wanted to believe that that Nick wrote the book and was kind of turning his life around and was honest. So, yeah, Tony's the boss. I mean, he knew the whole time.
All right. Well, you can reach us at... Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram or Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter, or go to the Who's the Boss Podcast page on Facebook, or you can go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message and you can leave us an AOOA.
Yeah, I dare you.
Come on, don't make us be the only ones that feel silly. Okay, so next time we're going to cover the episode Older Than Springtime. And I do like this episode. And we're going to get the most fantastic Angela Bauer outfit to date.
Oh, really? All right. Yes. I'm excited about that because I have been, this one I watched, I don't remember watching.
Like, oh, this episode?
Like we've, you know how we like for a while before, well before we started the podcast, we'd find an episode here and there and watch it.
Right.
And then, and then when they were on Roku, even before we started the podcast, we were watching them on and off.
Yeah,
I don't remember the one, this one we just watched. And I don't even, the one you just said the name, I don't, it doesn't sound familiar to me.
Yeah, I feel like you haven't watched any of these coming up here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a patch of, so they're all kind of new to me, which is nice.
We've got Older Than, we're almost at the end of the season, Older Than Springtime, Walk on the Mild Side, Reconcilable Differences, which I don't think I've ever, I mean, if I have seen it, but it's been years. And then the spinoff, Mona, which I don't remember watching. And then the season finale, a moving episode.
I don't, and the later we're going to get, the more I'm not going to remember, I think.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe season 4 I will, but we'll see.
Season 4 is a good one. Okay, so, all right. Thank you, everyone.
All right, bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe. And give a big thumbs up. And tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.